first game I had to deal with reporters, because the two, the faculty was split, and the two sides, or at least one side in particular, was running to the press. This was 62, 63.
Oh, boy.
And finally, a large majority of the faculty signed a statement saying that the place was all right. It was not, I forgot how they put it, but they had confidence in the administrative leadership, and they wished the press would leave them alone, something like that.
Well, good for them.
Wow. Well, I think let me just look here and see if there's anything that I've missed. I feel like a reporter myself.
How about a drink?
Yes, if you're going to. I'll drink with you if you're going to drink.
Oh, I'm going to drink.
You are?
Sure.
All right, I'd be glad to. What time is it?
It's 6:20 or something like that. It certainly is cocktail time.
Do you have to go somewhere?
No, just there.
Okay.
What do you want?
Oh, a little bourbon and water. Can I help?
Make your own.
Okay. Some of these things remind me of Whitewater.
Well, that was done by Princess Mary Louise Radziwill.
Oh?
Grandmother, a lot of blood good, used to live in the Leibniz house.
Oh.
And she was master of the house and so forth. She was master at Smithtown Hunt when I started hunting in 1937.
By Warden Elbow.
And we have another very similar, but it was all changed into a top hat instead of the master's cap, and I think the hound is gone. But that we give for a side saddle trophy at the National Horseshow.
I see.
It's called the Widewater Trophy.
Uh-huh.
everything on your little list?
Well, let's see. Why did Ward give the land to the college? Had he heard of plans for a college on Long Island? How close a friend was he to Frank Moore?
Not a close friend. He knew him for years, but this is the man from the boys' school?
What's that?
This is the man from the boys' school, as I call it?
No.
Oh.
This was the lieutenant governor under...
Rockefeller?
I think under Rockefeller, but... or before that, under Dewey. And then he became chairman of the Board of Trustees of the State University.
I remember he was here at the groundbreaking, and he was here.
Right. Can I do something for you?
No, there's nothing to be done at this window. Bunny, our daughter, was going to get something that you can pull down.
Some blinds.
Yes, but it doesn't look like a blind.
Would you like to sit here?
No, I'll just...
Okay.
Just go ahead and squint.
Okay.
I'm so glad to see the sun after this past...
Right.
Oh.
Right.
Such weather as we've had.
We're going to get his historical interests in colonial architecture and historic preservation. Was he at any time president of SPLEA? I think he was certainly a member of it for many years.
Yes. I don't think he was ever president of it.
I see.
Have they moved away yet? SPLEA?
I don't think so. I think they're still there.
Uh-huh.
How did he appear to you and the family? Kindly?
Oh, yes.
Dictatorial or...
No.
Laissez-faire?
He was really quite laissez-faire with us.
Uh-huh.
It's just at the wrong spot now. No, Mom was the one who made us toe the mark, but... Well, I mean, we didn't get away with anything with Dad, but he used to go for walks with us on Sunday afternoon along the beach at Conscience Bay up the creek. And I remember there was a place, well, it's before you get to Audrey's house there. And there was so much glass and bottles at the foot of the, on the beach right at that point. Well, it was during Prohibition, and they used to throw their bottles over the bank. I remember Dad explaining that to us one time. We couldn't understand why this one particular spot had so many bottles on it. But that's where they disposed of their bottles. And he used to ride with us, and he... He'd go canoeing and swimming with us.
Probably didn't bring the business back home.
No, he'd tell Mom what he'd done that day every night at dinner, kind of. I mean, if it was anything particularly interesting. But, no, he didn't bring his business home. He had enough other interests out here that he didn't need to.
Right. Let me just check this now and see where we are. I think that's probably close to being... Still going. 5:37. We've got 10 more minutes at least.
We used to go camping. I guess it was Labor Day weekend or the weekend after Labor Day or something, with the Bob Murphys.
He and Bob were close.
Yes. Even when they still lived over in Christopher, I mean, long before they lived here.
Yes.
We were brought up with the Murphy children. They're, well, I think Amos, their youngest, was, I don't know, 6 months older or 6 months younger than I am. And we used to go, we sleep on the beach at Montauk Point. Or in the Pine Barrens, or Lord knows where we went with Murphy's.
I remember Bob taking me to see the Prosser Pines.
On Fire Island over there? Or
no, what? They're right down Middle Island.
Oh.
Just south of 25, just mm-hmm. south of 25, and before you get to Middle Island Golf Club. Mm-hmm. Great, beautiful stand. Lovely.
Well, he was an interesting man. Mm-hmm. Of course, they were a little tough for us to take, but this sleeping on the around, not on the ocean side, but on the inside of Montauk Point, with a rock for a pillow, and they'd put corn and stuff in the, under a fire, you know, let it cook all night.
Yes.
And we'd go swimming, and if it was low tide, it was all this awful slimy seaweed that, oh. I know Ruth and I didn't like it. The boys were too little to know or care, but Ruth and I certainly didn't like it.
Do you know anything about Ward's relation with, relation to Bayless? When did they, how long have they known each other? And
I don't know. That's a sore subject with me.
Oh?
I never liked Bayless. I worked for him all those years.
I see.
But I don't know. I don't know when Dad and he got. I think it's when self-improvement and everything got bigger than he could just do out of his hip pocket.
Right.
He had to get somebody who knew the ropes out here. But I don't remember him when we were younger at all. I remember Bayless's grandfather. But I don't, and his father, but I don't know when Bayless came into the picture.
I see. Okay.
He was interested in Caroline Church. He was investing in there for years.
Ward was.
Yes.
Right. And he was, I think, manager of the American Bible Society.
Well, his very good friend, Gilly Darlington.
Yes. Bishop. Was he a bishop?
His father had been a bishop.
Yes.
They lived in Widewater when Dad was a child.
I see.
And he knew the Darlington boys. And I've forgotten, I think Parry Darlington was a minister of Heavenly Rest in New York. And Gilly was with the Bible Society. I don't think Dad was ever a manager or anything of it.
I see.
He probably must have belonged to it or something, which Gilly wanted him to do for some reason, but that was the extent of it.
Gilly was, that's the first name of the Darlington son.
Yes, there were. There was Elliot, who was sort of off his rocker. He lived up in the boathouse next to Audrey's there.
I see.
And then there was Eleanor, who married Ellis Fisher, who was an officer of Melville Shoe. And Gilly and Harry. I think it was just the four of them, I'm not sure, but I think it was just the four. But he used to, when they first moved out here, they lived in, well, it's, I still call it Lillian Stern's house. It's where the Van Twisterns lived there. My grandfather built the kitchen up on the hill and moved the house up to the kitchen. It used to be along the road like the...
Oldfield Road.
Along Oldfield Road like Mrs. Whitley's and the rest of them there.
Right.
And the next one was Red Roof, they called it. And my grandfather moved it up on the top of the hill. And at that time, this was turn of the century, I suppose there weren't that many children around here his age, but he got to know the Darlingtons, and one of them was an usher, his best man. I forgot which, yeah.
Well, that's way back, 1918.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. The year before Sunwood and I were born. I spent my first Christmas in Sunwood's first Christmas.
I spent 6 months, Anne and I spent 6 months in Sunwood. When, just after I left, after we left Planting Fields and came out. Before our house was built. I remember Ward's taking me on a trip with in some car. I thought it was a Jeep. Maybe not.
No.
And showing me the Setauken Green and the two churches, telling me about some of the history of the early days. A new person thingy.
Caroline Church is the oldest Episcopal church in continuous operation in this country.
Yes.
Bruton Parish is older, but it hasn't been running all the time.
Which parish?
Bruton in Williamsburg.
In Williamsburg, I see. Well, I have contributed, I made a pledge to the building fund, Caroline Church.
Well, at least they finally got the steeple back up.
Right.
Oh.
That took a while.
Well, they discovered when they took it, I don't know if they were planning to take it down, but when the hurricane came 2 years ago, they were afraid it would crash to the ground. So they took it off, and there it sat. And then they discovered there were all sorts of other things wrong inside the poor old church, so they had it propped up and,
And enjoyed being on the altar hill with Dorothy. Yeah. She was very fond of Dorothy. I think some people were afraid, kind of afraid of her.
She doesn't bite.
No.
She's had a tough time since Dad died because she was brought up, a really Victorian household.
Yeah.
And she came out in New York when it meant something to come out in New York. I mean, at your parents' house, this kind of thing. And she didn't know anything about arithmetic, I mean, facts and figures and that kind of stuff, and she's had to learn it all.
Yes. But she was athletic.
Mm-hmm. She was golf champion and tennis champion at St. George's and at Oldfield. And there was one time, I suppose it's 20-odd years ago now, maybe more than that, I'd been playing mother and daughter tennis at the Oldfield Club with Carolyn Johans.
Oh, yes.
Because she and her mother could not play together. And I don't know that we ever won, Carolyn and I, but one year I said, Mom, you want to play this mother and daughter business with me. And I had to say it two or three times, and she went out and practiced against the garage. She hadn't had a racket in her hand in 30, 40 years, you know. And we beat all the gals my age with their teenage daughters. And so forth. And the finals, we could have charged admission to the Old Field Club that day. Was Mrs. Kaltenborn and Ananias Robinson against Mom and me. And most of the people who belonged to the Old Field Club didn't even know that Mom had ever played tennis, you know. And she had been very good. She was champion up at Norfolk, where she used to spend her summers and all the rest of it. But it was, you know, standing room only crowd to see Mom on the tennis court. Dad could not play tennis or anything because his, you know, with one eye, he had no, what do you call it?
No depth perception.
Depth perception, exactly.
Well, I remember Marriott and I, this was when I was at Brookhaven, came up to Oldfield and played the Kaltenborns.
Oh, no.
Marriott and I were mixed doubles champions at Brookhaven. And then when we came, Anne and I came here, Hans was no longer playing, but Olga still wanted to play. So I was her partner. They invited us down to Palm Beach, I think two winters straight for a couple of weeks, and I played with Olga down there.
Oh, for goodness sake.
She was good.
Yes, she was good. Well, of course, when we were playing this lady's parent, and mother and child, or whatever it's called, mother and daughter, neither Mom nor Olga could get around too fast anymore. At one point, Mom fell down. She just slipped on a tape or something. So we lost that point. I mean, I did go pick her up. And the Kaltenborns beat us finally, but...
I bet you gave them a good run.
I've forgotten what kind of a score we had, but it was not bad.
Yeah. That's good.
But at least we were legit mother and daughter after playing with Carolyn all those years.
Well, who do you see coming along to take the place of some of the people that have left? In other words, the Kaltenborns and your father, and presumably your mother shortly.
Yes. The Kaltenborns never did a thing for the village in any way, for the community, really, as far as I know.
Well, they probably were world travelers.
Yes.
Thought in those terms.
I suppose so. I really don't know. I mean, Dad's shoes would be hard to fill.
Oh. Of course.
And I really don't know who there is.
He was sui generis.
Mm-hmm. That he was.
Kind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been very kind.
Well, I don't think I've been able to tell you much.
I think you've helped. I really do.
I've never thought about Dad in this kind of terms before. I mean, you know, he was always just Dad. He was there. And
yeah. You have to... We're looking at him objectively as somebody else away from us.
Yes.
And... It's a different point of view, of course. I hope his diaries wind up somewhere where they can be preserved, because they are a real source, a primary source of both the industrial development and the social life here around on Long Island, particularly. Do you know where they are?
Oh, sure. They're in the library at Wybord.
They're still at Wybord. Well, I hope that you. Hang on to them and at some point put them in a library.
Well, I don't know how much they have in them. I suppose it's all interesting. I know Susan Stitt has borrowed a couple of them because she was trying to find out when he started collecting the carriages or something like this. And Mum couldn't remember, and I couldn't remember, and Dick Gibson's gone, and so is Roger. And I think she finally found out, but...
Right. Well, at one time, she let me look at the years from 60s, 62. 62 on, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't forget your gadgets.
Oh, that's right. My memory. My memory. No, I didn't offer you any of this.
Well, I just figured we'd better have a drink if you wanted to. I don't eat anything like that.
You don't?
No.
Well, that's very... And I was... too interested to do anything about it. Well, it's still going, so I'll stop it.